welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. And we're going to talk today about a kind of preparedness. I was listening to a show earlier, and it made reference to the fact that we were a church program or a church service program. I can't remember the exact terms that I used, but the reality is we are, but we think of church service as really service, because that's what the early church was. The early church was called out ministers that were set up to serve the people because Christ came to serve the people. And the reason that people need to be served is because if they don't have some that gather for the purposes of serving others, supported by all who want to serve one another, that's that whole idea of Moses and Christ of love one another as I have loved you. It's people helping people. But they were doing it in an organized fashion. But the organization was dependent from the bottom up, not from the top down. And most of the governments around what was called the Roman Empire, and eventually became the Holy Roman Empire, and I guess is now the New World Order, is this top-down concept of government, where you elect somebody to rule over you, which if we go back to, you know, Samuel 8, is referred to as a rejection of God. And so Christ didn't come to say that rejection of God is okay. He came to say, well, no, this is the way we should do it. And the problem is most Christians aren't doing what he said. And so we look back at the early church to find out what were they doing. And, you know, we go to the Greek and the Hebrew of the Bible and we study all that. And we write lots of books on it, articles, and do lots of radio programs on it. But really it comes down to some really basic things that it seems to be missing from our consciousness when we consider all this. And it makes us very ill-prepared for hard times. It makes us very ill-prepared for good times. It kind of moves us in a direction away from what Christ was really talking about. Because he always talks about being a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. So there's something we have to do. Whatever we do, it won't be enough. We still have to be saved by grace in this world and the next. Because he said that when you cry out to him, he wouldn't hear you if you were doing contrary to his ways in certain fashions, in certain areas. And so it's important to know what those are. And what we were talking about in earlier shows is what I'll quote from a book, The Lives of the Saints. It was written back in about 1866 or so, just after the Civil War. And it was talking about Stilton martyrs that were actually executed. Actually, thousands of them were executed at one time, just set on fire. Actually, they're kind of rounded up in buildings, and they set the buildings on fire. And what was the beef? Well, you know, what was the complaint with these guys? Were these Christians going around doing bad things, wicked things? You know, were they smashing windows? Or, I mean, what was the complaint of the Christians? Or against the Christians. Well, at that particular time, there was an emperor by the name of Severus. And that Severus had been going around. He made a deal with the kings in Britain. And then he was fighting these kings that had rebelled with a Nijar ruler. And it was just, you know, work, work, work all the time. He was having trouble all over the empire, trying to hold it together. He actually come out of a period where there was like an emperor every couple of months. And he was seizing control because he was commander-in-chief, that's what emperor means, of the military, or at least his military. And this is about 202 AD. And he made a law that was against foreign religions. And there couldn't be any more foreign religions. And you wonder, well, what was the beef? Why was he that a religious of a man that he didn't want foreign religions? Well, you have to understand what religion was then. Religion was how people took care of one another through some sort of system of religion, and there were lots of different systems of religion around, but for about 300 years, the system of religion in Rome had become more and more controlled by government. Religion was now public religion, and religion the word religion is from threskia, which has to do with something you do. And there's actually groups that are gathering together, and they call them threskians, you know, and they go and they dance around fires and they burn incense and smoke strange weeds, and they do all sorts of things in different groups, and they think that's religion. Well, actually, religion was how you took care of the needy of your society. It was the social welfare of your time, however you decided to do it. And at one time, Rome did it with free will offerings and this whole system of hearths gathering together, and people helped each other out. And then when they were attacked, they had these communication lines already set up, so they gathered together in big armies and defeated people. And then they got the idea of using that same networking plan to go out and mine areas and to set up harbors and to create trade routes. And it worked really good, and they did this through the finances that they got in the temples, like the Temple of Janus and other temples. And what they did is investors would invest in this project, and then they would go out and do it. And some would invest their labor and time, some would invest funds, and they would keep track, do the books, and come back. And if they made money, everybody made money, and they got rich that way. It was very successful, kind of cooperative kind of ventures, investment in ventures, and it was very successful. But they did the same thing with helping out the needy. You could get sick, you could get injured, you could get crippled, your husband could die, and you would be destitute. But if you were a part of some of these temples, like the Temple of Saturn, they would take care of you. And there was a huge amount of welfare going around. And there was all this extra money coming in from emperors like Augustus helped finance that. And so what had been religion based on free will offerings and local community helping each other in these hearths, and these little congregations that they had made this network, which they eventually based on their army, they went from being privately funded to being publicly funded. And even at the time of Paul, his own brother-in-law was known for his, nephew was even going around funding charitable projects, because they were a fairly wealthy family, and they were Roman. This was his half-brother. And I said brother-in-law, I meant half-brother. And they were funding charitable projects. They were big into this charity, and that's why they received Paul so well, is because this is what they were doing, is they were trying to get people back to this republic kind of government where you were free from things public, because you weren't applying to the benefits of the public coffers to take care of your needs. You were taking care of those through charity and charitable institutions. You see, when your charitable systems become public, you go into the bondage of Egypt. That's what happened in Egypt. That people helped each other out all the time, and they created community by doing that, because they knew you were there for them, and now they'll be there for you. And, you know, it's kind of a mutual thing that comes down to society. And a lot of you don't even know that because you haven't seen it in so long. But that's how societies were binding themselves together, at least one way. Another way they did it was that everybody paid into a central treasury, and that central treasury provided them with benefits like a gigantic public insurance company. And that bound them together, too, and made them loyal, but it also gave somebody power over those purse strings and over those funds, and it centralized the power of community. And that was forbidden in the Bible. They spoke against it time and time again in Deuteronomy and other places, and certainly in Samuel. But yet people kept going back to that. And Rome was moving in that direction, had been even before Augustus, and Christ was coming along, and John the Baptist was coming along and saying, no, your charity should be private. By faith, hope, and charity, they're talking about perfect law of liberty. Nobody's forced to pay in. Nobody has to make this work by some sort of exercising authority or law. And this was dividing the nation even before Christ came along, and Christ continued that sort and said, those that want to be like us and get our baptism and live by faith, hope, and charity, let's do that. And those of you who don't want to live by faith, hope, and charity, who want to live by force and fear and men who exercise authority, you can stay in those systems, and that's what happened at Pentecost. Everybody who wanted to live by charity and live by the ways that Christ was preaching and John the Baptist were preaching and got the baptism of Christ were cast out of those systems that were causing this subjugation. And now they were free in Christ. And Christ made this legit because when Christ was being wrongly convicted, Julius Caesar's representative in Judea, known as Pontius Pilate, said, "This guy, I find no error in this guy. This guy is the rightful king. I'm going to even put that on an official document and nail that to the cross." And when you did that, and when you got the baptism of Christ, you are no longer under those handwritten ordinances of the governments of the Pharisees. And you could now travel all over Rome, in Ephesus and North Africa and everywhere, and you were not subject to the regulations and taxes that funded those temple welfare programs that you saw in Herod's temple, in Herod's temple of Roma. He also built the temple of Roma, which is another Greek god. But the purpose of that temple was to provide welfare for the people by compelling offerings, keeping track of what they pay in. They have to pay in a certain amount. And Christ is saying, no, look, here, the widow pays a penny. The rich man gets half of everything he owns. Who paid more? From my point of view, from God's point of view, the widow did because she gave all she got. Okay, so they're creating a social insurance that is based on free will giving and free will receiving, individual men who rightly divide from house to house, chosen by the people from the grassroots up, not elected to some high office of authority, but he who is to be greatest among you is to be the better and better servant. And this is what they were doing as Christians. And along comes in 202 Severus, who says, no more foreign religions. You've got to belong to the public religion. You don't have a choice in it. You have to sign up for our religious security, our social religious security, because that's what social is. That's what Social Security is. It's actually a religion. It's the way you take care of your widows and orphans, and you have to pay in based on what you make, and you are guaranteed to be paid back, except for they've got a little clause in there. If they run out of money, you don't get anything. They decrease the amount you'll get, and they'll decrease it and decrease it, and because they only have so much. And it's based on you pay in now and take care of the needy now, and then when you have a need, we'll force the people working to pay in for you, everybody who's signed up. And everybody has signed up because they also say you can't have a job, you can't get a marriage license, you can't get a driver's license, you can't get any of these things unless you have their social religious security number. Because you have to belong to that system. They don't accept, generally speaking, any other foreign religions. Well, now all of a sudden you see healthcare coming in and everybody says, oh, this healthcare is bad, and you're going to hear all kinds of bad things about it. You're going to hear some people say it's great, but a lot of people are going to tell you all kinds of bad things, you know, including literally genocide can be brought about under these types of regulations. But if that's what the people who are in that system want, that's fine with me, but I'm just telling you that you're going to have objections. If you were a Quaker, not a Quaker, but a Amish people, you could be exempt because they already take care of one another. And they've already have an exemption written in for them. And there's an insurance company, Good Samaritan Insurance Company, Good Samaritan Ministries, I think it is, and they have what they call health shares, and you can sign up for that, and they have some sort of an exemption. We have a web page up now on our Preparing You site, because see, as a church, we are preparing you. We're preparing you to live a righteous life, and that needs, sometimes you need help doing that, especially in this day and age. So we have on our Preparing You, show you how you can set up a system like the early church and what they were doing. And they were living, if you got sick, you went to church. If you needed help, you went to church. If you lost your job, you went to church. Because that was another form of government. And you weren't welcome at the temple of Saturn or the temple of Ephesus, or that you were even accused of robbing the temple of Ephesus. You weren't robbing the temple, but people were leaving that system and joining the Christian system. And as long as you had some religion, it was legal because there was freedom of religion. But under Severus, there wasn't freedom of religion anymore. They said no religions except for our public religion here in our temples, and you have to swear by them. And they wouldn't do it. And one author writes, and we quote him on our webpage on what we call health shares. And actually what we're talking about is not health shares, but life share. And we'll explain all that. We've already got 2 hours of recordings on the subject. But for the purposes here, we've kind of laid the groundwork, but there's one place where a particular emperor is complaining to the Christians that he is persecuting, and he's got a couple of them picked out. There's about 7 of them, Spiratus and Donata and several others that are in this trial, which we have somewhat recorded. "We too are religious," says this Saturninus, who is actually the proconsul of Africa. This is about 180 CE. He says, "We too are religious, and our religion is simple. We swear by the genus," that's the family, "of our Lord, the Emperor, and we apply for his benefits, as you also ought to do." And so what they're saying is they want them to apply for his benefits, because when they apply for his benefits, they have to pay into his treasury. Once you sign up, you have to pay into that treasury, and they need the money. Now, the reason Severus has made this a law is because 2 ways you control people. One is by force, you know, the sword, armies, policemen, secret police, you know, Gestapo, whatever it is. You control the people because they're afraid that you're going to arrest them or slit their throat or something. So you control them by fear. The other one is you can control them by wantonness. "The greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits, because it makes the people weak and dependent upon that benefactor. But the problem is the benefactor isn't giving you his money. It's giving you your neighbor's money. He forces everybody to contribute equally. You know, you have to give a little bit. It's kind of like the protection racket. If you don't give to him, then the Gestapo shows up and you're in trouble. They take your house away. They take your job away. They do all these things to you. So they got everybody forcing them to give, and then they take those funds and they provide them with benefits. And that's how they take care of their needy. And all of a sudden, they're making it illegal to take care of yourself. You have to get their Social Security, their religion, their whatever you want to call it, their social welfare. It's the welfare state. And you have to get their welfare. You have to sign up for it. You have to pay into it, because it's not going to be voluntary. They don't care if you do the voluntary thing, but they want you signed up as a member, and then you're part of their corvée system. You're part of their statutory bondage system. And this is what he was doing. He was outlawing this because he didn't want the independence. Marcus Aurelius feared the Christians because he opposed the sectarian tendencies at work in the Christian movement, because he saw Christianity a privatizing of religion and transferred of religious values from the public sphere to the private association. And that's exactly what they were doing, because that's the only place you'll find liberty. If you pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, you will not be free. Christ knew that, and that's why he said that, what I just said to you. You're not to be praying to these men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, because they're only giving you what they took away from your neighbor. Now, that sets up a whole spiritual reality that brings you into a dark realm, the dark side of the force. And you don't want to go there. You want to go over to that privatizing of social welfare. You want to get away from the welfare state. You don't want to be a part of that welfare state. And that's what was going on then. That's what Christ was doing, is privatizing religion. Herod was making it a public matter, and he was trying to get you to go back to that, because without that, there is no liberty. If you will not take back your responsibilities to do these things by charity, by free will offerings, you will not be free. And what we see today in the world everywhere is that they are moving, they are making war on the privatization of religion. Religion, again, taking care of the needy of your society. See, a welfare state is defined as a concept of government in which the state plays a key role in the protection and promotion of the economic and social well-being of its citizens. It is based on the principle of equality of opportunity, equitable distribution of wealth, and public responsibility for those unable to avail themselves of the minimal provisions for a good life. The general term may cover a variety of forms of economic and social organization. Now, Christianity, in a sense, is a welfare state too, but they don't use a gun to collect, and they don't use men who exercise authority to distribute. They operate, again, by the perfect law of liberty. Now, that's going to take virtuous people. And if you live that way, you get to practice virtue daily. You practice charity today. There is no charity in the modern welfare state. There's forced contributions and the dole. And that creates a different kind of society than one that is trying and striving daily to live by faith, hope, and charity. And so we have to turn around and go the other way. And one of the ways to do it is what we call life shares. Whereas these other they're not really an insurance company, like Good Samaritan Ministries is not really an insurance company. You pay in a premium per year to take care of business administration. But after that, your monthly premium goes directly to the people in need, and they use a random choosing in a computer to say, oh, you need to send it to this person, you need to send the check to this person, et cetera, and they pay off your bills, your medical bills, based on a policy. That's not what Christ taught. That's not what Moses taught. That's not what Abraham taught. That works better than insurance to some degree. It is a little more Christian in its approach. It's not really an insurance company, because there is no guarantee that you'll get your bills paid, although so far they've been pretty successful at it. And they don't have a central fund, because the money goes directly to the needy. But you also don't create those bonds and relationships that you would create if you organized like the early church. And you also don't have the kind of oversight you have with men of charity and integrity and honor. Not that those people aren't. You just don't have the oversight, because it's still centralized. It's not broken down into the local choices of the minister. See, you're only covered if you meet these qualifications. If you're a widow and you only got a penny left, you're not covered anymore. You're just toast. You're out. According to Christ, though, if you just paid a penny, you paid more than the rich man from his point of view. So that system is devoid of Christ, because it takes out the personal touch. And when you're really going to need help, when you're really in dire trouble, they're gone. They're not going to be there for you. You see, and everybody's going to be really in a lot of trouble. Also, it's only going to cover the things that they list. If something happens that they didn't list, you're out. You don't get covered. You're dead. There's no flexibility, no human flexibility there. In the system set up by Christ, 10 families gather together, pick a minister, a man that you trust, a man of honor, a man of integrity, and if he stops being that, you pick somebody else, and you give in to him. And he keeps books, and he keeps track of where he delivers those funds. And his minister, make sure that he is doing a good job, and the elders of that congregation make sure that he's doing a good job. But he is the one that's doing the job. When you give to him, you've given up entirely, and it's deductible if you're still in the system because you gave to a church, you gave it away, and it's automatically considered deductible. And he flows it out into society according to the leading of his own, the Holy Spirit in him, and the communication he has with all the other congregations. So that if there's somebody with a lot of trouble over here in a congregation, it's four congregations away, they get a lot of funds. And everybody sees that going there and helping that person out, just like an insurance company, except you actually see what's going on. They report back to the elders, because the elders are the kings and priests of their society. The responsibility is back in the hands of the people. Therefore, the power is in the hands of the people. The purse strings are in the hands of the people. The rights are in the hands of the people, and the people are again free. This is what the early Christians were doing.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
People came in and want to spy out their liberty. You know who doesn't know what their liberty was about? It's modern Christians. They don't know what they were doing. And this wasn't just for health care. This is for unemployment insurance, old age, disability. Everything was taken care of through the church. And they were working out their salvation, their social security, in fear and trembling. And that's why we've started these congregations of record. I didn't start them. The people started them. This is a movement of the people. You people have to get together with other people. And they say, well, we're kind of far apart. So what? You don't have charity far apart? Start somewhere. Look for the lost sheep. Start filling in the gaps. Start bringing and creating more congregations closer and closer to you. And more, the fact is, in the days ahead, you might need to go far away. And you've got some connection because you started with people far away. Now they have their own congregation. You have one close, and there's another one down the street, and there's another one in the next town. And you can go from town to town, and there's always somebody there that is part of this network of faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, doing what Christ said to do. Wouldn't that be original? So we'll have to finish this when we get back to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back. We're looking at this thing of why the early church was persecuted. It was because the governments of that day wanted to force everybody into their social welfare system, which was run through the temples. And like I said, the Temple of Saturn was literally the Bureau of Vital Statistics. That's where you registered your birth. And that's why a lot of the Christians got into trouble with Marcus Aurelius, is they would not register their birth at the Temple of Saturn, because that would be saying that you were now swearing by the genus of the Patronus of Rome. The emperor was called the Patronus, which means our father. And Jesus said, call no man on earth father. The senators of Rome were called patri, Father. And Jesus said, call no man on earth Father. And so to register your birth at the Temple of Saturn so that you could get benefits, what they called Tudor benefits, was going against Christ. And they wouldn't do that. And they knew they didn't need to do that because they were taking care of one another. Okay, they also didn't register at the temple at Ephesus because one of the ways in which that welfare state controls the people is to control the economy. And the temple at Ephesus was the world bank of its day. That's why 127 different countries built it. They all put money in to build it. They funded it. It was literally an underwriter for insurance programs in trade and all sorts of things. And it underwrote some of these social insurance programs. They had this huge vault, yet Christians were accused of robbing it, right there in the biblical text. Why? They weren't breaking into the vault. They were creating this other system. So why do we want to go to all the trouble of creating this other system? Well, without scaring you too bad, the system that you've created for yourselves is going to fail. So that would be a good reason, but if that's your only reason, it won't be good enough. You won't successfully create the alternative system which Christ preached and John the Baptist preached and Moses preached and Abraham preached, which was a system based of living altars where you had the power to make decisions as to who you would support and who you wouldn't support. I mean, there's a lot of people on welfare. I can guarantee you that the working people I know don't want to be supported. But they don't have any choice because they signed up at the Temple of Saturn. and they're in that system. They have to pay in. And the Christians who were objecting to that, who didn't want to be a part of that system, were being persecuted by 200 A.D., severely so, because they were saying, no, we don't want to be a part of that. And they said, we want you to be a part of this because we don't want to worry about you. That was the big worry that Marcus had, is that these Christians were so darn well organized and they weren't a part of our social welfare. And we can't trust them. They might rise up and take over. And so he wanted to make life hard for them. So he made a law that they had to register their children within 30 days of the birth. And we cover all this in books and with footnotes and references so you can look it up. But this is the way it was, and your modern churches aren't telling you that because your modern churches are all a part of that public system. They're 501c3 incorporated churches that are working by the grace of the state. They're part of, you know, all the ministers are members of their welfare state. They look to those same fathers of their country, whatever it is, Australia or the United States or Canada, they look to them for their social welfare because the church hasn't been the social welfare in this country for almost 100 years. We've gone that long down the wrong road. And, you know, we can start back now or we can wait till the whole system fails and then start back. But personally, I think you ought to get a head start on it and start looking for people who can this will connect in their brains and start getting together. I mean, the persecution is already upon you. You have to pay for your neighbor's abortion now. You don't have any choice. You're in that system. You signed up. You can complain. You can try to get the vote. There's more people that want than want to do what's right. And they're going to win the vote every time. The power is already in their hands. You're not going to go to people on welfare and people getting a government check and say, hey, you guys want to stop? They're not going to stop. They want more. Give us more. And there's nothing you can do about that. But you can legally start going the other direction now. Start creating those bonds now. Speratus, when he was on trial with Donata and Secunda and Vestina and all these others back there under the Saturninus proclamation that came down to him through the emperor, and they were told that they should be signing up at their temples. And they said, no. It says, we have never committed any crime, they said. We have injured no one. You see, they're talking common law here. We have injured no one. Far from it. We have always thanked God for the evil treatment we have received. Wherefore we declare to you that we worship no other God but the true one, who is the Lord and master of all things. We pray for those who persecute us and unjustly, and according to the laws we have received. And then he goes on to say, I know not the genus of the emperor, the family of the emperor. He's not my father, is what he's saying. The emperor of the world. He uses the word there, world, like we see in the Bible, the one that is translated organized system, constitutional order, or government. I know not the emperor of your world, but I serve the God of heaven, whom no mortal man hath ever seen or can see. I never committed any crime punishable by the laws of the state. I pay the public duties for whatever I buy. You know, sales tax. They had sales tax then. I acknowledge the emperor for the temporal lord that he is. But I adore not but my God, who is King of kings and sovereign Lord over all the nations of the world. I have been guilty of no crime and therefore cannot be incurred punishment. But they ended up punishing them anyway because there was no more law. And there will be no more law in many countries again. We go through these cycles. You know, it's like there's a winter and there's a summer. And winter cometh. And when winter cometh, hearts turn cold. And we get into a lot of trouble. Donata says, honor our prince and offer sacrifice to the gods. That's what they were telling her. But Donata replied, we give to Caesar the honor that is due Caesar, but we adore and offer sacrifice to God alone. Sacrifice, what word are they using there? It would be Corban. Corban is the sacrifice you made to take care of the needy of your society. That was to be this private Corban, this private religion, done free will offerings amongst people who believed in liberty. If people don't believe in that, they don't want to do that, they don't want to take time, they just want their rights back, lots of luck, because it ain't going to happen. You have to change the direction you've been going, because the direction you've been going is going away from freedom, away from liberty. Anybody who's as old as I am could look back and say, my gosh, how far away from liberty have we gone? And what is it that is driving that force away from liberty? What is taking us away from God and the righteousness of God? What is taking us out of his grace? Why is he not hearing us? The people who want the benefits for nothing, they're not going to hear you. That they want and they want and they want. You have to find those who care about your rights, care about your life as much as you care about your own, and you have to care about theirs as much as you care, as you want them to care about yours. This is the way it works. If you don't do that, there's no helping you. There's no changing your path. There's no changing the direction that you're going. So anyway, we started this making reference to the life share. Congregations of record are supposed to do this anyway. We're not telling you to get rid of any insurance you have, and we're not telling you to get rid of your membership in the other systems. You can have those memberships for now. They will fail. You have to pay into them. Go ahead and have them. But start creating the alternative. Start, you know, helping one another out. And that doesn't mean just go down and help any drunk on the corner. He maybe should be in the ditch. He may not want to sober up. He may not want to repent and turn around. But those who want to turn around and start creating a society based on faith, hope, and charity, you need to start looking for them and start coming together with them. That will start to build the relationships within those assemblies that will be important in the future. It also allows the distribution of what you do give so that it's not squandered, because it's monitored by people who are looking out for your interests. I know of a guy who was going around telling everybody he was going to build all these orphanages in Africa. He got $800 out of a guy I know, and he got thousands, even millions, actually, before he was done, out of all kinds of people, never built one single orphanage. He was just padding his pocket. Nobody was checking. He was bringing these. He would go to Africa, and he would take pictures of all kinds of work that other men were doing, but who went over to Africa to see if he was actually building anything? Nobody. No, there was no oversight. Nobody was checking. They just said, oh, we want to give. Oh, yes, they look so hungry. Oh, yes, oh, yeah. And he got millions of dollars and never did a thing for anybody but himself. No oversight. You have to build in oversight because otherwise thieves and robbers will break in. Mobs will break in. They'll take all the money, and you're wasting and squandering your charity on nothing. And you say, well, I had good intentions. Well, you didn't have good responsibility because you didn't check. You didn't know who you were giving to. Oh, they had this little insignia. And that, you know, how much of the money you give the United Way actually goes to good? You know, one of the biggest charities that are going around, I won't mention its name. It's one of those ones you might think, rob from the rich and give to the poor. That's a little bit of a hint. Do you ever look at where all their money goes? It's actually online. You can actually go online and see what agencies and what groups get their money. And you might not want to give to them anymore once you check that out. I mean, they do good, but they got millions and millions. I mean, like $300 million coming in. And, yeah, you can list off, oh, they did good here, they did good here, they did good here. And then what did they do with the other $150 million? You haven't got a clue. Who looks it up? Well, that's why you need to do this in a network where there's oversight. Also, like if you have hospital bills, they don't have to pay the whole thing. They can go to the hospital because it's a charity that's paying for you on your behalf. They can go to the hospital and say, hey, I think this bill's too high. Can we negotiate this down? Almost every hospital will negotiate it down. They pad the bill. And I know people who work in these places. They pad the bill for all those people who won't pay and stick them. And you're expected to pay for them. Well, that's fine. But if you want to pay through the church is going to check that bill out. And they're going to negotiate it down. And they'll say, well, if we pay this amount, will it be paid in full? And they'll say, yeah. And we'll pay it. And you can pay back the church with your what would have been your premium. But we're not going to make you. But if we find out that you're just trying to get off on another freebie and not actually contribute, you want to become a burden to all the other people in your congregations and congregations of congregations, we will find that out pretty quick. And we'll say, you know, I don't think we can pay you for your slot anymore. You know, if you're not going to repent and turn around and do what's right, we're not going to support you in what's wrong. See, right now, the welfare system you have, you're supporting all kinds of people that are doing wrong. You want to know gun violence in this country? There's no gun violence here in our valley. Everybody in our valley just about has a gun. We're not shooting each other. We don't have no gangbangers in our valley. As a matter of fact, the keys, you've often heard me say this, the keys are in the cars out there all the time. Half the houses aren't even locked up. Well, they're not worried about it. But you want to know where all this violence is coming from? It's coming from the welfare states and the unarmed citizenry in the cities. I mean, what is about 78% of the people who are shot are already been in jail once or arrested once. To do the shooting, not get shot, but do the shooting. Over 70% have already been in jail and let out again. I'll lay you odds, most of them are coming from welfare homes, homes that have been on welfare and receiving welfare. They didn't have to get responsible. They got a check for being irresponsible. And you're paying that. That's the wrong religion. You may have to pay into that. You better start gathering with people who are not like that and working together to become your own social welfare, your own social insurance, based not upon entitlements, but upon faith, hope, and charity. What's wrong with the policies of those insurance? You know, I'm saying, oh, they work, but there's an error in them. When you were to build your altars of living stones way back in the days of Abraham, they had to be stones that were unhewn. By that means they had to have the flexibility to say, we will support this. We will pay for this. We will help you out here because we think it's right. We're not going to help you out over here because we think that's wrong. And it brings an element of judgment. Now, this is a minister, this living stone that you picked him before because you've seen him doing a good job. And that's what happens is that the people who are lazy, the people who are selfish, the people who don't care about others, this system won't work for them. That's why they have the world system. They're supposed to go over into that system. And that's for them. That's for the wicked, the lazy, slothful, selfish people of the world. They should all go over in that system. But you people who are hardworking, industrious, and caring, have moral integrity. Have a sense of righteousness, because that's what you're supposed to be seeking. You should be gathering together in another system, a free association. You don't become a member, you're in a free association. Not even a free association, I won't even use the word association. A free assembly. You just gather together. You don't belong to anything, you just gather together. As a matter of fact, there's all kinds of rules mentioned in the Bible, or good advice, we'll call it, not rules. You weren't to have tattoos and stuff like that, prick your skin and make tattoos. Why was that? Because they used those tattoos like gang colors. It started to divide you. Oh, we are our group. And you start identifying with the group rather than righteousness. It's like gang colors, like I said. And it's the same way with braiding, you know, trimming the corners of your beard. They did that certain ways to show that, oh, we're a member of this group. And you start dividing yourselves. Oh, we're, you know, like all the Methodists are going to trim their beard a certain way. And they have that amongst the Amish. You know, some, they trim their beards a certain way, and they wear their hat a certain way, and they have suspenders a certain size, and they actually have all these rules. And then you know, oh, well, that's that group because their suspenders are that wide. And they divide each other off. And the reason that men come up with these little rules to divide you off, you know, Sabbath on Saturday or Sabbath on Sunday or Sabbath on, you know, the moving around calendar, the lunar calendar, they want you, they're dividing you off. They're separating you. We're supposed to be seeking righteousness, period. You know, kindergarten can start telling righteous, it's wrong to throw sand in his face. Got it? Okay, it's wrong to take his toys away. It's wrong to cheat the 4-year-old out of his toys and trade him a dead frog for his toy because you want to play with his and you fooled him. That's taking advantage of him. You told him that dead frog had magical powers, whatever it was. You defrauded him. These are basically simple things, you know. Not bear false witness. Not defraud your neighbor. Not covet his goods. Not steal from him. Don't hit him over the head with a baseball bat. You know, it's simple stuff. This is righteousness. The rest of that stuff, don't worry about that. Get the righteousness down. To abandon your neighbor so that he cannot get help from anybody but benefactors who will make him a slave is not righteous. And if you do that, then expect to be abandoned yourself. If you really want to prepare for survival, start preparing to help one another. Start finding those people who are really seeking the justice and righteousness of God and start gathering with them and become part of life share. No greater love does a man have than he lays down his life for his neighbor, which I said earlier on another show, doesn't mean you jump on a grenade. It means that you just give up a little bit of your time and energy to get to know other people who want to do the same for you. You create little projects, and everybody sacrifices a little bit to make that project. One of the first projects you need to be doing is finding the other people in your area. And recently, I posted something on Facebook, and it was the Homeland Security came out with this little video on what to do if a shooter comes into the place of work where you are, you know, like a building or restaurant or wherever it is, what you should do to prepare for this. First thing they want you to do is find all the good hiding places. You better divide them up because if you got 6 people trying to get into the best hiding places, only big enough for 2, you're going to have a fight right there in the hiding place. You're going to have the big person in there first and you're not going to fit in. So I think that was really a stupid idea. You better have everybody, you know, have drills or something if this is the way you're going to go. The other thing is to know where all the escape routes are so you can get and run. So now you got 2 choices, hide and run. This is what they tell you. You can make up your mind which one you do. Personally, I like the choice that I came up with. Find out everybody in the workplace where you are who has a concealed weapons permit and go to his office. That's what you should do. Find the quickest route to his office. And that's only in case you forgot to bring your gun to work with you. Because if you're one of those people who say, I don't want the responsibility of owning a gun, I want other people to risk their life to keep me safe. Personally, I think the only thing you should do is run and not towards the guy who brought his concealed weapons permit and his gun to work with you. And, of course, I'm creating a funny scenario here, although it wouldn't be so funny when it really happens. But the reality is you want to find other people who will watch your back because they have a sense of righteousness and duty and honor. And you want to start gathering together with them and seeing if you can work with them. See if they really do believe that. If they just want to belong to some religion or feel good, there's lots of places to go out and do that. But if you want to seek righteousness, which is what Christ said, then start gathering together in these free assemblies. Start networking all across the country with other people who are coming up with more and more ideas on how to take care of one another. We can actually come up with ideas that will keep you out of the hospital so that your medical bills will be way down because you won't be sick. And you hear some of that from time to time on the program that follows here, and hopefully you'll start learning. But you really need to create those relationships with these other people, because when you come together, when real Christians come together, it's like plutonium. You're going to get a spiritual reaction, and you're going to see power like you wouldn't believe. So anyway, unless there's some questions, I'm just about done. We're coming to an end of another show.
You've done a great job once again.
You draw it out of me, Cheryl.
Well, thank you so much once again for sharing your knowledge with us. And, I hope it stimulates people to gather their troops.
Well, the thing is, we are the troops. We have to be the troops of righteousness, though. So, but anyway, we'll see if they do. They can go to His Holy Church, and I guess you'll probably give that information after the show, and join the network and start finding other people in the area. We're getting people to join every week, and hopefully things will really start growing here.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
God bless.
God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.